Good morning. All right. I just want to start by saying I love you guys. Last Sunday was super, super great, super califragilisticexpialidocious, just all them words. I did get a little bored occasionally during the day, but it was about 7 o'clock by the time. Oh, she's not there. But anyway, I wouldn't have done anything else, so it was great. And I loved all you in the alternative universe there. I love you as well. So. That being said, I still love you. I know "but" is a very strange word, but last week was a tough week for me. I come off a Sunday and dropped into the depths of despair, and Nah, Monday wasn't too bad. Monday was a distraction. I was distracted on Monday. We went down to Missouri and I worked down there. And then, and I knew I had this lesson. And I was kind of pumped when I saw the schedule. I had class, and usually when I have class, I have ideas for lessons. And I got done with class and I was like, I ain't got nothing. There's just nothing there. And so I still ain't got nothing. So I'm talking to you. So Tuesday, I was going into this and kind of, I'm always, the week before a lesson, I'm just not in a very, I'm probably not very good to live with, and I'm just kind of, I wouldn't, maybe grumpy, just kind of melancholy, or I don't know how to describe it exactly. But so I was like, all right, I'm going to stay on, I got to stay on top. So I read Romans 8, and I read, I was like, all right, the answer's in the Bible, so I was just reading. I think I read through Romans, and then I found James, and then I read James, and then I had all these notes in the sides, and I was running down all those scriptures, and it wasn't working, wasn't clicking. I was still, blah, still like walking in mud. Deep mud with mud boots on there, a little too big. You're just kind of, and boots threatening to stay behind all the time. Just couldn't quite get out of it. And because I was listening to podcasts too, and I listened to occasionally to Ben Shapiro, and he's like the Rick Sparks of talk show host. He's like, my brain is hurting. And then I was listening to Kirk Cameron, and I like him. He's encouraging. And but I wasn't doing it. I wasn't finding what I needed. I was hearing things, and I was reading things, reading good things and I was reading, I'll go there right now, Matthew 6, 33 through 34. I can't remember where I heard this. I'm suspicious that it was Kirk Cameron, but I'm not positive of that. 33 through 34 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." I even somewhat quoted that to a guy at work. We were walking out of the break room, ready to head out into the world, and he said, and then I made the mistake of looking at tomorrow's schedule, and then I kind of quoted this. It was very vague. But he didn't know. So, anyway, it was more for me than him. And that's why I don't look at my schedule. I can look at my schedule way in advance. And I've quickly found out that is a terrible way to proceed through life. It's better if you don't know where you're going. Just show up and do the work. So, anyway. And so quoted that to him, the verse before 33, "But seek first the kingdom of God," and I'm like, the practical side of me is like, all right, that's what I should do, but how do you do that? How do you seek first the kingdom of God? And so I was struggling with that. And my reading habit was not working. And then Kirk Cameron says, "What is your plan?" I don't know. Anybody else listen to Kirk Cameron here? No? Okay, so you guys don't know what I'm talking about. So he does 15 minutes because that's what Twitter allows. And he's been threatened to be kicked off of Facebook. So he's trying to keep Twitter happy. Anyway. So he's got this book, The Great American Covenant. So it's a history class hooked with Christianity. And he's talking about the pilgrims and some contract they wrote on the Plymouth. Yeah, that's it. They talk about that and how the pilgrims had to be self-governing because there wasn't going to be no government there. And so they're going to be self-governing. So they kind of set up their own government, and then they found out that one didn't work, and so they set up another one. And their goal was to please God, and he does this, and then he's saying how this applies to us and how we need to get back to keeping our covenants with God, and to and he doesn't go too deep into the spiritual side of things other than kind of overarching things. And he said a couple things that I didn't agree with. But for the most part, he's been very encouraging and on. And he's even sang. What song did we sing with Kirk Cameron? Faith of Our Father? Anyway, doesn't matter. So, it's funny. Think of the guts it takes to sing on a blog when you're singing with 15,000 people, but you can't hear any of them people singing. That takes a lot of guts. So, I was very impressed with that. And, I have all this information coming in. I'm reading this stuff. How do I seek the kingdom of God first? And I'm still not convinced I know how to do that. But and then in Mark 12, let's go to Mark 12. (Clears throat) Mark 12, 28 through 34. And this is another one that Kirk talks about a lot. I'm not going to read. I'm going to pare it down here. Okay, so a scribe. We talked about scribes in class this morning. Professional writers. They knew the law because they were always writing it, and they knew this. So a scribe is asking Jesus. Not sure if he's being snarky about it or. That's a true, genuine question. But anyway, he asked, which commandment is the most important of all? And Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And then, I love the rest of the story, but we're not going to talk about that this morning. And love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the only thing I can think of, I mean, I'm always, all right, how do I do that? Well, how would I do that with anything else that I am greatly enamored with? I would spend my time and my efforts and all that going after it, chasing after it, pursuing it, whatever, whether it's joy or it's taekwondo or, you know, whatever my, or God. So I'm assuming that's what is going on here. That's what it means. I'm supposed to go after it, to pursue it, to go after it. So, it should be on my mind. You know, you think of someone who finds a girlfriend or a boyfriend, and then they're, you know, starstruck, and they're, that's all they can do for a couple years, or, you know, however long that period of time is, and they're just gaga after this. That's what we are to do with God. We are to pursue Him and go after Him. And we know that can't last forever, right? It doesn't last forever physically. It doesn't last forever probably even spiritually. I kind of hate to say that, but it probably doesn't last to that extent even spiritually with God. But we know that's where we should be. That's where the way we should act. And so maybe that's the way we should pursue it. Or I should pursue it. So let's go to Romans 8. I was reading in Romans 8 to try and pull myself out of the mud. And what one of the things I Romans 8 didn't work that great. It helped for a short time. And then I just you know, it's a chapter. So you can't remember it all. At least I can't. And I've thought about it's on my I got a list of things I want to memorize. Romans 8 is on there and different things, and I can barely get two or three verses memorized, and I finally found my sheets that I was trying to memorize. I think I told you this on the treadmill. When I run on the treadmill, I found out that if I try and memorize while I'm on the treadmill, it works great. I mean, it's just, I don't know, it's something to do with the brain and the way the brain works. The left-right thing, you know, EMDR, maybe some sort of thing like that, but it works great. And but I haven't done it for probably over a year. And excuse me, I found the sheets that I was using, big letters, so I can read it while I'm, yeah, you know, jarring my eyeballs up and down. And I read through them, and I'm like, yeah, that sounds familiar. But it wasn't popping up in like a great hidden surprise of memorization. So anyway, I'm rambling, sorry. All right, so Romans 8 was good. First verse, I remember specifically I was sitting there that morning. I knew I was down, and I was looking for something, and I knew Romans 8 was going to be more in line with that, of finding that something. And the first thing I read was, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." That felt awesome at that moment, because I was feeling condemned, I guess you would say, because I had this lesson to get. That's a burden. And work was, I was really down about work. It's like, if I just make product, it was worth something. You know, and that, I had a bad day with product. And so, and I was just down and feeling like it's my fault. Everything's my fault. So that felt wonderful. And then in verse 11, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. And I immediately thought of Alan, and is the Spirit dwelling in you? Does He have, I think, maybe it wasn't you, He has a dwelling place or your chair, and I have my chair at the table, and it is surrounded. I can hardly eat at my spot at the table because I have sticky notes and papers and a tin can full of screws and Phillips bits and odds and ends, you know, stuff you take to work and then you bring it back home and then you never need it again at work. Anyway, so, and it's just, I have this, my chair, and it's surrounded. And I have a chair over here and a chair over here that sit in the corners. And they've got books piled on them and charging cords. And it's my spot. I get in that spot and everything's within reach of what I need. And I can look out the front window and survey my domain. And I can watch the east door. Yeah, I don't know what that means. But that's where I dwell. That's my spot. And that's what I hope the Spirit of God has its spot in me. He guides me. He directs me. And steers, bumps me down my path of life, is the way I think of it. And then in verse 17, we have heirs. Think about that. We are heirs. What's that mean? That means I am Jesus' brother. I am heir to heaven. Whatever's up there, I'm not too concerned right at the moment with what is there, as long as it ain't here. Or there in hell, I guess is maybe the bigger. But I'm an heir. That's my inheritance. I have a right to that. Think of that for just a minute. I'm not just sneaking in some rat hole in the back door into heaven. I am going to walk through the gates into heaven. Verse 18 talks about the sufferings of the present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. So the sufferings we go through here are prospectively small compared to what we're going to get in heaven. So this last year, 2020, was a rough year. And I have no doubt that 2021 is going to make 2020 look like it wasn't so bad. And I just think we're in for a rough patch here. And those are prospectively small compared to what we have waiting for us. Prospectively small. And then 26, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Specifically prayer. Prayer. I know I recently gave a lesson on prayer. But prayer is, the more I pray, and it, believe me, it's not gone up a whole lot, but it's more. It's where the answer is. That's where the answer is in prayer. And hopefully we're going to talk about that here shortly. So, and 27, the Spirit intercedes. The Spirit who's dwelling in us, dwelling in me, intercedes. Let's read 26 and 27. It says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Okay, I'm weak. The Spirit is right there boosting me. For we do not know. All right, I'm weak and I'm dumb. Do not know what to pray for as we ought. So I'm unskillful as well. But the Spirit himself. Think about that verse I read earlier. The Lord our God is one. The Spirit isn't some obscure, very powerful angel that God has given to us. The Spirit is God. The Spirit is part of God. And He dwells in me. He lives there. All right, where did we get to? The Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. All right, I can groan. And the Spirit can interpret that to God for me. To see, there I fell into my own trap. The Spirit is God. The Spirit knows exactly what I'm saying. He knows what I'm feeling. He knows what I'm going through. He knows what I need. He knows better than me what I'm going through. And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And the next one is great. And we know that those who love God... All right. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. Okay. So, jumping down to verse 31 through 39. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Think about it. If God is on my side, which He is, what do I have to worry about? Do I have to worry about COVID? Do I have to worry about tyrannical government? Do I have to worry about getting old and being totally useless? Which I don't think is true. But do I have to worry about being unemployed? Do I have to worry about... I mean, if God is on my side, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all. He killed His own Son for me. That I probably could rephrase that. He put His Son up to be killed for me. just, I mean, that's incredible in and of itself. Where did he go? How can it disappear like that? Okay. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is it that condemns? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised? Who is at the right hand of God? Who indeed is interceding for us? So the Spirit is inside of me, interceding for me. Christ is in heaven, interceding for me. And God is the one who justifies me. That seems like a win-win situation, doesn't it? Who? All right, I keep jumping around here. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. Okay, that's where I want to stop. So trouble is not a problem. Distress is not a problem. Persecution is not a problem. Famine is not a problem. Nakedness is not a problem. Danger is not a problem. And a sword is not a problem. All those things are things we worry about, we stress over. I stress over. I'm pretty sure you do too. But they are not a problem. God has them all beat. Now we jump over to James. I was reading James. And verse 1, second verse. It says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds." Now, this last week was tough for me. And Friday was here and I was feeling slightly better because I wasn't having to go to work tomorrow. But you know what happened on Friday night? I came here and nothing to do with church. Devin was here, Aaron was here, Abby and Emma were here, and Brittany and Carson and Lily were here, and Ryan was here, and Cassidy was here. Because we get together, and, well, not the little ones, they run around, but the bigger ones, we get together and we play a game. Now, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Some people actually get together and put themselves at the mercy of dice and throw themselves headlong into dark forests with monsters of unbelievable proportions, and they do it with a smile on their face, and they can't even think. Like the dungeon master asks us, "Do you want to proceed down this path?" And we're like, "Well, what else are we going to do? That's why we're here." And so we head down this path that we know we're going to be fighting orcs and vines that are alive and twigs that are alive and wolves, and we're just delighted to do that. So what's the difference here? Our life. What has happened in our life? Christ has died on the cross. He has forgiven us of our sins. He has defeated the devil. We know exactly how this story ends, right? God's going to come back. Or Jesus is going to come back. He is going to take us away and liberate us from this earth and from hell. So when we're looking down this dark, depressing, terrible path, count it all joy, my brethren, when you meet trials of various kinds. We know we're going to win. In the game, we don't know that. We end up making death-saving, or is that what they call it? Death-saving rolls? And to see if we live through what happened and that kind of thing. But in this game of life, we've won. We've won. And my main point, I'm out of time. My main point was pray. This is all through the book of James. Ask for wisdom. Ask. And if you don't have the faith to get the wisdom, because fluctuation, ask for faith. And if I'll give you the speedy rendition. And then it talks about in verse 12 being steadfast. Ask God that you'll be steadfast. We have the Spirit dwelling in us, and we have Christ in heaven interceding for us, and we have God who justifies us. How can we mess that up? We can. We can. Believe me, we can. We can. Verse 13 says, we are tempted and lured and enticed by my own desire. Ask God. Ask. We need to ask. Ask God. Verse 17. Every good, perfect gift comes from the Father. Be thankful. Be thankful. Go to God in prayer and thank Him for what is going right in your life. It'll be bigger than you think. Verse 19 and 17. I didn't write down what it is. This is very good. This should be a memory verse. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Surprise, surprise. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. It's the same story. Okay. 2, chapter 1. Don't show partiality. This is what we do. Chapter 2 is what we do. One is we ask for all this stuff. Number 2 is we, and the end of first 1, orphans and widows, we pay attention to them. We help them. 2, we do not show partiality. We learned that in this morning in class. The household of faith is first, and then everybody else. Pretty simple. Verse 14, be warmed and filled. Take action. Don't just say something. Do something. First part of chapter 3 is teachers. I got to be careful. I get up here, my tongue gets me in trouble because I'm teaching. I'm going to be judged harder because of that, because I'm teaching somebody else. So I got to be even more diligent, more disciplined. 17 and 18 of chapter 3 is good fruit. Produce good fruit. And 4 and 2. You desire and you do not have, so you murder, you covet, and cannot obtain. So you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. So, What's the answer there? If you don't ask, the answer is always no. If you don't ask God for some help or for what you want, the answer is what? No. You're not getting it. So ask. I'm preaching to myself here. If I want help with something, I got to ask. If I am struggling with something, I've got to ask. We talked about that this morning as well. If Brianna's paper is never going to get filled if she doesn't ask to see who has the center. Yeah. All right. So it's just, I think prayer is just, I mean, we have so much. We're the stick going down the river. We can't really control much. But we can ask. We can ask God to help control the river. Or, you know, I truly believe that if you look in Judges, what happened in the first part of Judges, the people would drift away from God, and then they would cry out to God, and then they would come back. And God would pull them out of their trouble over and over and over again. So the whole cycle of Judges. And I think we are in the beginning of that cycle. I think as a country, we have turned away from God. I think we have walked away from Him, and we are suffering the consequences for it. We are getting exactly what we have sown. And I think we need to talk to God. We need to ask God and make sure we are asking Him for His help. All right. Verse 7 of chapter 4. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It says resist the devil. It doesn't say defeat the devil, because Christ has already defeated the devil. All we have to do is resist him. We have to we are going to have to have compassion, because I think there is going to be times in our country where we are going to have to be compassionate to those around us, and we are going to have a spine of steel, cable perhaps, because we're going to be pushed and shoved and deleted and deplatformed and all that kind of stuff to get us to form and to bend to the will of the world. And I think we are going to have to find out how to be compassionate and unmoving at the same time. And I think we need to start practicing as soon as possible. And I think we need to pray to God like our lives depend on it, which I think they do. And I think God is very willing and able to answer those prayers. So those are, if you have times like me where you are stuck in the mud, just can't seem to get free of that mud, I would say the best thing you can do is pray to God. Just go to Him and tell Him everything. Tell Him, this is what I'm struggling with. I mean, He knows already anyway, right? So go to Him and tell Him all the dirty secrets, all that stuff. Tell Him everything. Just lay it out there like you have nothing. You're not hiding anything. Just lay it out there and tell Him. And God will. That's exactly what He wants. He's not wanting a perfect he's not going to get that, if that's what he wanted. He wants you and me as we are, to start with. I mean, he's going to make us clean. He's going to take away our sins. That's what the blood is for, right? The blood is to cover up those sins, to take them away. And that is glory to God. That is glory to God, us depending on Him. Okay. I've rambled on enough. Okay, so pray and share with God your life, because that's the only place you're going to find peace. You're not going to find it at work, because, well, I won't go into that. You're not going to find it at home, even, I don't think, because at home there's stuff to do. There's just stress at home. And here is probably the best place on earth that you're going to get away from it. But God is the only place you're going to find peace. Because if there's people there, there's going to be problems. And we are people. And so we need to rely very, very heavily on God. And be very compassionate to the people, the household of God. So, all right. I'm done. Thank you for listening to me. And if, we'll offer the invitation at this time. If you want to be right with God and start taking those steps, come forward as we stand and sing the closing song.